Hello and welcome back to Read This Next with Nicole and Sam. Today we are doing another list made by Sam, which is Found Family. I'm excited to do this one because the last one you recommended was the Wolf Song one, right? And this is kind of what inspired the list.
It sure was, yes. And I still have not finished that book. I've got a couple of chapters left, but it's still pretty fantastic.
Nice. So, I love that. Yeah. Okay, so we already talked ahead of time. I'm going to start with the first one. This is Eleanor Oliphant is Completely Fine. I think I said that right. It's by Gail Honeyman. Meet Eleanor Oliphant. She struggles with the... Nope. Oh, bad start. She struggles with appropriate social skills and tends to say exactly what she's thinking. Nothing is missing in her carefully timetabled life of avoiding social interactions where pizza... No. Where weekends are punctuated by frozen pizza, vodka, and phone chats with mummy. But everything changes. Mummy! But everything changes when Eleanor meets Raymond, the bumbling and deeply unhygienic IT guy from her office. When she and Raymond together save Sammy, an elderly gentleman who has fallen on the sidewalk, the three become the kind of friends who rescue one another from the lives of isolation they have been living. And it is Raymond's big heart that will ultimately help Eleanor find the way to repair her own profoundly damaged one. Soon to be a major motion picture produced by Reese Witherspoon. This is a smart, warm, and uplifting story of an out-of-the-ordinary heroine whose deadpan weirdness and unconscious wit make for an irresistible journey as she realizes... dot, dot, dot.
That sounds fun. It sounds nice and fun and a little corny. And I'm assuming that it was on Reese Witherspoon's list, like her reading club book
must
list
be.
Also, that's my theory. So,
oh, it says that on the image. It says Reese's book club. You're so smart.
Thank you for being so observant. Where did you get that theory from, Sam? Anywho. The next one I'm excited about, because I put it on my to-read list, because it sounds really fun, and it's definitely inspired by Scooby-Doo, which is like my favorite childhood nostalgia. So this one is called Meddling Kids, and I do want to preface this by saying that if I remember correctly, this is classified as a horror, technically.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering correctly, which is very interesting. So 1990... The teen detectives, once known as the Blighton Summer Detective Club of Blighton Hills, a small mining town in the Zoinks River Valley in Oregon, are all grown up and haven't seen each other since their fateful final case in 1977. Andy, the tomboy, is 25, on the run, wanted in at least two states. Carrie, one-time kid genius and budding biologist, is bartending in New York, working on a serious drinking problem. At least she's got Tim, an excitable, I don't know what that word is, Weimaraner?
That's a type of dog.
Oh.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Descended from the original K-9 member of the team. Nate, the horror nerd, has spent the last 13 years in and out of mental health institutions and currently resides in an asylum in Arkham, Massachusetts. The only friend he still sees is Peter, the handsome jock turned movie star. The problem is, Peter's been dead for years. The time has come to uncover the source of their nightmares and return to where it all began in 1977. This time, it better not be a man in a mask. The real monsters are waiting.
Oh my goodness.
I really like the sound of this one.
Me too.
I really do.
I feel like we recommended one of his books forever ago. I'm trying so hard not to touch anything on my computer right
Fair.
Now.
I should have said, I did not say at the beginning, it's by a author named Edgar Cantero.
Very fun. And the cover is super cute. I really like all the fun colors.
Yeah, that's what originally, when I was like looking stuff up, it drew my eye.
I love that it's off-brand Scooby-Doo.
it's so fun. And like the fact that it's like more horror based, like adult horror, is really interesting to me. I think it sounds super good.
Yeah, the villains grew up with the kids. Very cute. Okay, you know what? I think this is interesting because we're getting, because you have not been doing Read This Next for as long as I have, but it's so fun seeing these new lists because this next one, Deep History, with Sarah Gailey on this podcast, and I'm so thrilled to tell you about it. Okay,
Cool.
so this next one, Found Family. I like it though. I kind of like when we repeat because you kind of can come at these different stories in a different way. So this one is called American Hippo by Sarah Gailey. And they also write like something in every genre. And this one ended up on our Westerns episode. And Laura, when she told me about it, I was like, oh my God. This Sarah Gailey person, we got to be all over their stuff. And they have written so many good books. But, anyways, I'll read the description because I think we talked about that one like years ago at this point. So, for those of you that haven't heard about Sarah Gailey yet, welcome to their world. It's incredible. Okay. Years ago, in an America that never was, the United States government introduced herds of hippos to the marshlands of Louisiana to be bred and slaughtered as an alternative meat source. This plan failed to take into account some key facts about hippos. They are savage, they are fast, and their jaws can snap a man in two. By the 1890s, the vast bayou that was once America's greatest waterway belongs to feral hippos, and Winslow Houndstooth has been contracted to take it back. To do so, he will gather a crew of the damnedest cons, outlaws, and assassins to ever ride a hippo. American Hippo is the story of their fortunes, their failures, and his revenge. So, what's cool about this, I don't know if you knew this, this was a legit plan that someone had drafted and they never put into action because it's dumb, right?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. Like, that is not even a surprise. It sounds to me, when I, again, this is one I put on my book list because I found with like a lot of the found family trope books, the characters are always really interesting, and like kind of quirky and very diverse. So this one I'm interested in, and just like the plot of it is something that you haven't really like seen before. At least I haven't. It sounds super interesting. So I'll keep in mind that note about the author too, and I want to check out more of their work
Oh,
because
yeah.
this is the first thing I've ever seen
They've written
from them.
about witches, and they've written about this really cool book called The Echo Wife, I believe, which is about this guy who creates a clone for his wife, but it gets really weird really quickly.
Awesome.
And yeah, there's so many good ones. Every time they come out with a new book, we're like, get Sarah Gailey's new book.
Awesome.
Yeah, super
Noted.
good. Yeah.
Okay, so up next, we have one called Project Hail Mary. It's by Andy Ware. I think that's how you say his last name.
Sure.
Ryland Grace is the sole survivor on a desperate last chance mission, and if he fails, humanity and the earth itself will perish. Except that right now, he doesn't know that. He can't even remember his own name, let alone the nature of his assignment or how to complete it. All he knows is that he's been asleep for a very, very long time, and he's just been awakened to find himself millions of miles from home, with nothing but two corpses for company.
Oh.
His queen's dead, his memories fuzzily returning. Ryland realizes that an impossible task now confronts him. Hurtling through space on this tiny ship, it's up to him to puzzle out an impossible scientific mystery and conquer an extinction-level threat to our species. And with the clock ticking down and the nearest human being light years away, he's got to do it all alone. Or does he?
Oh.
Yeah. So this was, again, sorry, this is another one I added to my like my reading list because it sounds so interesting and I'm curious about that.
Yeah, I'm very curious how that's like, clearly there's going to be some found family, but I'm curious if it's going to be these weird corpses that he pretends are his found family, or if somehow we have AI involved in this.
Yeah, I'm very interested.
I know, Andy, where they write very correct science books, is my understanding. Yeah. So the math and stuff usually adds up, or maybe I'm thinking of a different author, but either way.
I wouldn't be surprised, because they did The Martian, too, which I think, like, with, it's like a fictional, like, novel, and like the movie and all that is fictional, but I would believe that they probably did a lot of research and, like, combined that with the story, so I'm very interested in this one.
Yeah, I'm very curious about that. Ooh, I like that. Okay. I felt like I had another thought about this one, but now I can't remember what it was. I realize it's an impossible task. Yeah, I don't know what about those bodies. That's kind of weird to me, but...
Oh, well. Interest peaked.
Yeah, for sure. This next one is The Gunners by Rebecca Kaufman. I like the cover. I feel like it probably means something, and then once you read the book, you'll get it, you know? Early bird gets the worm kind of thing. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Following her wonderfully received first novel called Another Place You've Never Been, which was called mesmerizing, powerful, and gorgeous by critics all over the country, Rebecca Kaufman returns with Mikey Callahan, a 30-year-old who is suffering from the clouded vision of macular degeneration. He struggles to establish human connections. Even his emotional life is a blur. As the novel begins, he's reconnecting with the Gunners, his group of childhood friends, after one of their members has committed suicide. Sally had distanced herself from all of them before ending her life, and she died harboring secrets about the group and its individuals. Mikey especially needs to confront dark secrets about his own past and his father. My microphone is, like, in the way. I'm afraid to touch it.
Fair.
There we go. I can still hear you. Okay. Mikey especially needs to confront dark secrets about his own past and his father. How much of this darkness accounts for the emotional stupor Mikey is suffering from as he reaches his maturity? And can the Gunners, prompted by Sally's death, find their way to a new day? The core of this adventure, made by Mikey, Alice, Lynn, Jimmy, and Sam, becomes a search for the core of truth, friendship, and forgiveness. A quietly startling, beautiful book, The Gunners engages us with vividly unforgettable characters and advances Rebecca Kaufman's place as one of the most important young writers of her generation. I'm curious how old she is now.
Yeah, me too. That was the first thing I thought.
I'm Googling it. It's interesting.
I usually tend to stray away from books with, like, more serious subject matter like this one, but I have to admit I am intrigued because there's a bit of a mystery here. Like, I want to know now. What are these secrets?
Yeah, what's she hiding? Not she. All of them. They're all hiding something, probably.
What did they do?
Yeah, it says... Oh. One of the things that I'm looking up, it's like Republic records for Rebecca Kaufman range in age from 34 to 69 years old. So I don't think I'm going to be able to find that filming today, but
Rebecca Kaufman's in general, like all of the Rebecca Kaufmans around the world.
I think that's exactly what it was searching for. Yeah. But either way, like I said, so those are what, starlings as the birds?
I think so, yeah.
Starlings, and they are eating a worm. Yeah, there's something to be said there.
Yeah, rich with meaning. I'm sure if you're someone who enjoys a nice, like, deep, kind of serious, kind of, like, angsty tug at your heart,
yep,
this one might be for you.
Yeah.
It really might be.
I feel like this category you picked is really hitting all the genres, which is kind of nice.
Yeah, I do my best. Yeah, I do my best. And with this one, especially because I find that found family is such a, you can, like, it's a huge, broad category.
Yeah.
So you can fit a lot of different things in there. The next one, so this is actually, I didn't realize this author had become so popular over the last couple of years, because this is In the Lives of Puppets by T.J. Clune, who is also the author of the werewolf book I am currently reading.
Nice.
And this one had like some really great reviews too. I hadn't realized that he had so many novels.
Mm-hmm.
But,
I think he's got like 5.
Yeah. And I think he's like publishing like backdated works that he like posted on like the internet years Love and years that. Ago. Yeah. So this one is In the Lives of Puppets. In a strange little home built into the branches of a grove of trees live 3 robots. Fatherly inventor android Giovanni Lawson, a pleasantly sadistic nurse machine, and a small vacuum desperate for love and attention.
Aww.
Victor Lawson, a human, lives there too. They're a family, hidden and safe. The day Vic salvages and repairs an unfamiliar android labeled Hap, he learns of a shared dark past between Hap and Gio.
I think because he's an ant. Oh, no, it's Hap and Gio, a past spent hunting humans.
Okay, there we go.
Confused us both.
Sorry, that dash really got me.
It's not okay, space
Hap and Gio,
properly.
Past spent hunting humans. When Hap unwittingly alerts robots from Gio's former life to their whereabouts, the family is no longer hidden and safe. Gio is captured and taken back to his old laboratory in the city of Electric Dreams. So together, the rest of Vic's assembled family must journey across an unforgiving and otherworldly country to rescue Gio from decommission, or worse, reprogramming. Along the way to save Gio, amid conflicted feelings of betrayal and affection for Hap, Vic must decide for himself. Can he accept love with strings attached? Author T.J. Clune invites you deep into the heart of a peculiar forest and on the extraordinary journey of a family assembled from spare parts. I thought that that was so cute.
That is cute. That's interesting. So this implies a few things. One, humans are on the run from robots. So we've had a robot uprising. 2, this is one guy. We don't know if there's any humans other than him. Presumably there is.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to see him go into the city and, like, expose that he's a human that exists. I love this.
And he's also, like, he's family with these robots, who I'm assuming he created them.
I think
likely,
so.
Or regardless, that's his little family. And if they, it does sound interesting. Sounds like there's a lot going on there.
And also, I initially thought that this was going to be a Pinocchio kind of retelling. I don't know why. I was like, oh, it's a guy with his puppet. Oh, no, it's robots. Oh, okay.
I'm glad it's not. I wouldn't have included it if it was puppets, because they scare me.
Oh, good to know.
On, like,
I will.
A deeply disturbing level.
Okay.
Yeah. Robots, though, love them.
I keep thinking, I'm like, but you offered to do puppet shows with me.
So I'm thinking more so like the marionettes.
Oh, those are
like
kind of
the hyper realistic ones that move really, like, when they're really uncanny.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan.
That's fair. I'm also looking at the image that was included. I mean, so for the audio listeners, the cover is 3 tree houses that are connected by ropes above a red house that's on the ground. So I feel like we're getting a lot of what the world is going to look like in this book, but just enough that you want to read it.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Very good. Okay.
Yeah, and I can vouch, too. This author does found family pretty well, from my own experience.
Their House of the Cerulean Sea was found family, too, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I found that it was a very, like, a lot, almost, I'd say, like, all of his books were coming up and a lot of the research I was doing, so.
There you go. Read all of them. Okay.
Yeah.
This one, could not tell you how to pronounce it right. I know it's a movie.
Yeah.
The Guernsey... Maybe. Guernsey literary. I nailed it on the first one.
I bet you it's just Guernsey.
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 Yeah. Okay. The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society by Mary Ann Schaefer and Annie Barrows. This is a movie with Lily James in it. And that guy, can't remember. Anyways, January 1946. It's not important. That man. Okay, January 1946, London is emerging from the shadow of the Second World War, and writer Juliet Ashton is looking for her next book subject. Who could imagine that she would find it in a letter from a man she's never met, a native of the island of Guernsey, who has come across her name written inside a book by Charles Lamb. As Juliet and her new correspondent exchange letters, Juliet is drawn into the world of this man and his friends, and what a wonderfully eccentric world it is. The Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society, born as a spur-of-the-moment alibi when its members were discovered breaking curfew by the Germans occupying their lands. It boasts a charming, funny, deeply human cast of characters, from pig farmers to phrenologist, literature lovers, all. So, phrenologist, isn't that like head, brain, Chinese? I want to say it's like a Chinese head.
Okay.
Or like pressure points.
Yeah, they put emphasis on using drawings of individuals with particular traits to determine the character of the person. So, determining your character based off of your head shape, I guess.
Oh,
and
okay.
A bunch of like diagrams and stuff are coming up.
Yeah, I recall forever ago someone made a interlibrary loan request, which, for those of you that don't know, is when your library doesn't have a book, we request it to libraries outside of our city. And someone had put in a request for Chinese phrenology books. That's the only reason I had any idea what that was.
You know, you live and you learn.
Wow.
There you go.
The more you know. So anyways, pig farmers and phrenologists. Juliet begins a remarkable correspondence with the society's members, learning about their island, their taste in books, and the impact the recent German occupation has had on their lives. Captivated by their stories, she sets sail for Guernsey, and what she finds will change her forever. Written with warmth and humor as a series of letters, this novel is a celebration of the written word in all its guises of finding connection in the most surprising ways. That's lovely.
Lovely.
I like that.
There's been some historical fiction.
Yeah.
Wrap it all up. Who doesn't love historical fiction?
I couldn't tell you. We did a whole episode about medieval historical fiction. There are lovers for every time period.
Absolutely.
I have to say, I feel like if there was one time period that people consistently went back to, I feel like the war is like a big one.
Oh, absolutely.
World War II specifically.
Yeah. I mean, it had such a obviously global impact.
Yeah.
And did so many, like the whole world, in so many different ways, and you have diverse people who are experiencing it,
mm-hmm.
in different like flows and ways. So I think it's like never ending. It's so nice, a good historical fiction.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That is super good. So I'm trying to think. We've definitely had some in the past that have kind of hit this mark. I'm specifically thinking of that book about Otis. The one, it's a Tom Hanks movie now.
Oh, The Old Man.
Yeah.
No.
It's something about a guy named Otis. But anyways, there's many. I can see you're Googling it. So it's about this guy. He's an old, curmudgeon-y old man. And he has a found family that take care of him, and he like learns to love again, essentially.
A Man Called, I don't know how to say it. Okay, so the movie is called A Man Called Otto.
Oh, it's
but
Otto.
But it's based off of a book called A Man Called, I don't know if it's Ovi or O.
Ovi, yeah.
Or or what, but super popular book. Yeah, that's Frederick Bachman.
Yeah, so there's like a whole bunch. So if you're interested in found family, there, it's honestly a very big genre. And I think something that people don't really think about as being something that you enjoy in a book. Yeah. I think people tend to think about genres rather than characters as a type of thing that you can enjoy in a book. But
I think it's so fulfilling. Like, I really had a good time looking through all the books that came up. I think it's such an underrated trope.
Yeah.
A lot of people like romance, but like platonic love and found family is like so like heartwarming too. Yeah. So I'd always recommend it.
Fulfilling is the perfect word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's our list. Pardon all of our technical difficulties today. Discord wasn't working, so we're on Google Meet. We're just making it work. But that being said, if you missed any of these titles or you want to find other ones, you can go to our blog, which is tbploftheshelf.com. Make sure to like, follow, subscribe, and do all of that stuff across social media platforms. We are at tbpl. Well, I think that's all I got to say. I think this is our last episode for this year, so we will see you back in about, like, I think it's either 5 or 6 weeks, but we're taking a break, and we will catch you guys in 2024. Bye.